The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Saturday, it's UFC 255. Two flyweight titles on the line. Davison Figueiredo defending his title against Alex Perez, and Valentina Shevchenko defending hers against Jennifer Maya. The prelims start 6:30 Eastern on ESPN2, with the main card on pay-per-view at 10 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here as we continue on this Thursday with Get Up. We come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We are jam-packed, and here comes the menu for hour number two. It is time to get up with Klay Thompson. Oh, no. Just as he's ready to return, he goes down, and he may well be out. Woj is the very latest. Right off the top, you don't want to miss it. Then, the numbers tell the story about the Michigan man. I'll tell you exactly what he needs to do, and probably do it right now. And then, our insider says, be prepared for a bunch of surprises at the most important position in sports. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. With this developing story yesterday, hours before the NBA draft, Klay Thompson injured his right leg during a workout with several NBA players in L.A. He will undergo an MRI this morning. Here's Warriors general manager Bob Myers last night.
I don't know. We'll see. You can be hopeful. You can be concerned. Probably all those things combined. As far as I know, he's playing basketball. And I don't know who with. I think just playing basketball, probably like a lot of these guys are trying to get ready for the season.
All right, Jay Williams joins me here. Thanks for getting up, Jay Will. And so let's talk about this. If, and again, we're waiting for all of the details on the injury, but if this is something that causes him to miss significant time, what does this mean for the Warriors championship window?
It's over. It's over, Greeny. It's, for a while until Klay gets back. Now, I was reading last night that, you know, people were saying that it was an Achilles injury. I cannot confirm that as of right now. But if it is an Achilles injury on his right leg from somebody who's had a left leg injury, there's a tendency for you to compensate when you have an injury. So if you were to compensate, have that right Achilles injury, that takes a while to come back from. We're going to see Kevin Durant come back off an Achilles injury, but he's also had a year and a half. Now, Klay got hurt, you know, a couple years ago, when you think about when they played against Toronto. So that's really painful for me. And then if you take that to the draft, last night I'm at the draft and I'm sitting there saying, hey, look, if this is the case with Klay, and it's obviously hard to figure out what the details of his injury are going to be. And I know everybody says stay the course with James Wiseman, but I really thought they had a chance to either trade the pick, still get a big from the Chicago Bulls, maybe get the fourth pick in the draft and get a guy like Denny Avdija. I always butcher his last name from overseas, but he's 6'8", 6'9", a bigger guard that can defend and play that three position. Or you go with a guy like LaMelo Ball, even though he's not great defensively, but it allows Steph to play with another playmaker because that's what makes Steph Steph. We've seen Steph play when it hasn't been with Klay, and that puts a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. I'm not saying he's a superstar. He can handle it, Greeny. But the volume in which you need him to do that, that typically has led to him being injured as well. So without Klay Thompson, you're talking, I mean, I'm picking Phoenix to finish higher than I would pick the Golden State Warriors. And I know that's putting pressure on them because Andrew Wiggins is good. But, I mean, you're talking about them finishing maybe sixth or seventh in the Western Conference as opposed to finishing, you know, third or fourth.
So we will get details on that later today. Again, he's scheduled to have the MRI late this morning, Western Coast time, and we will wait and see what we get as far as details on that. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, the Warriors did make that pick at number two, and they did take James Wiseman. Let me take you through the top of the NBA draft last night. As expected, Anthony Edwards from Georgia went number one. He's the fifth SEC player drafted first overall since 2010. He goes to Minnesota. The Warriors, here they are, taking James Wiseman, who played just three games in college. He is the 7'1" big. That was expected, and then so was this. Charlotte taking LaMelo Ball. Basketball has taken him all over the world, and now it takes him to the Hornets, where he will play for Michael Jordan. And so you were just saying, Jay Will, that you thought that maybe, and they didn't have a lot of time to react to this. Again, the news of the injury to Klay Thompson comes something like 2 hours, maybe even less, before the draft last night. What else happened last night that stood out to you? I'm giving you a sort of a blank slate here. What to you was the number one storyline coming out of the draft last night?
I thought Daryl Morey made moves for the 76ers.
Yeah.
I mean, they moved Al Horford. They moved Josh Richardson. They got Seth Curry, who is the son-in-law of Doc Rivers. This team needs shooting. They added Terrence Ferguson, who played overseas, who's a big-time wing, who can shoot the ball well as well. And they landed Tyrese Maxey. If you're going to stick with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you needed to surround them with pieces. You bring in Doc Rivers to unlock Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris had one of his best years playing with Doc in L.A. And now adding shooting around those guys. I mean, look, Seth Curry is on pace to be one of the best shooters that we've seen in the history of the game from a career three-point field goal percentage, stat. So, look, I think Daryl Morey, and I still think they're making moves. I still think there's some moves for Daryl Morey and company to make, but the 76ers find themselves in a great position moving forward.
I think I agree with you, and let's live there for a minute. Seth Curry, I think, frequently gets completely overlooked because he's overshadowed by his brother, who is one of the greatest players of all time. But he is a great shooter. And Green, obviously, is a 3-and-D guy. And you put them on the floor with the big three they've put together in Philadelphia and the new coach. In your mind, as currently constituted, is that a team that wins the Eastern Conference?
I'm still not going to have them as a favorite to beat the Nets. And the Bogdanović trade really kind of confused me yesterday, because on paper, I would have told you, Greeny, that Milwaukee probably had one of the best chances to beat Brooklyn. But him not going there now, I still think they need to make some moves. And Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis is really good, but it's not as good as with Bogdanović. So I would still say right now that Brooklyn is still in the driver's seat. Boston is still there. But Philadelphia is on their way. The big question we have with Philly is just, you know, can it work with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid down the stretch? Can it work? But Daryl Morey's putting pieces around them to put them in that position, and that's all you can ask for.
Really interesting as we work our way towards the start of the season and more wheeling and dealing to be done. Jay Will, KJZ, Coast to Coast every morning on ESPN Radio. Outstanding, my man. Thank you for getting up early with us here. We'll have more of this with Jalen later and Woj with the latest. But back to the NFL, where we're calling this Show Me Sunday. Big matchups. And D. Wood, let's start with you. What does Carson Wentz need to show you against Cleveland?
Greeny, I think he needs to take the easy money when it's there, and he needs to make the special one or two plays that we've been accustomed to seeing from Carson Wentz. You know, that's really what's been missing in this game. He's turned the ball over, and we just haven't been seeing the special plays, you know, a couple times a game that we usually see from Carson Wentz. So we need to see that this week.
Green Bay and Indy. Lewis, what does Aaron Rodgers need to show you against his good Colts defense?
Yeah, he just needs to stay on schedule and stay clean in the pocket and distribute the football. He may have a full complement of weapons on the perimeter for the first time since week two, provided that Devontae Adams can play. He's getting Alan Lazard back. They just signed David Bakhtiari to a huge extension. But he just needs to stay clean and really just distribute the football, because if he doesn't and he puts himself in harm's way, the Indianapolis Colts, they can do some work on you from a defensive perspective.
And then we've got Vegas Raiders against Kansas City. Neek, what does Derek Carr need to show you?
Nothing really. More of the same. I think the version of Derek Carr that we've seen this year is the best version of him. He's been responsible with the ball, which he always is, but he's been more willing to take big shots downfield. And Henry Ruggs is a problem. He scares defenses, and it makes it so much easier for that running attack and all the receivers. So just keep doing what you're doing, Carr. And the Raiders are one of the underrated teams in the league right now.
Absolutely, and they could try and sweep the season series from Kansas City. But as I bring Shefty into
the
conversation...
Well, let's not go too far.
They could do it. Well, let's see if they could do it. They beat them once before. And Shefty, obviously, we want to talk about Derek Carr, and we want to talk about Henry Ruggs, and we want to talk about the long-standing rivalry between Andy Reid and John Gruden. But, of course, COVID is a significant part of the storyline in 2020, and for the Raiders, it's a big deal. What is the latest there right now?
11 Raiders on the reserve COVID-19 list right now. And again, this is part of the reason, Greeny, that the NFL has enacted 16-man practice squads this year so that teams can reach onto their practice squads and pull up players in the event they're needed because there is a situation like there is with the Las Vegas Raiders right now. Again, you've got 11 players on that list. There were 7 players added to the list yesterday. But right now, the league says there is no change to the status of Sunday night's game. Remember earlier this year, the NFL adjusted the schedule, moving a Sunday night game into the Sunday afternoon window, a Sunday afternoon game into the Sunday night window. League not even doing that right now. I think that they count on and expect the Raiders to be cleared in time to be able to play this game. But obviously, until then, the precautions are being taken.
All right, and so I was reading yesterday about new precautions that the NFL is taking overall in light of the rising case numbers around the country. Fill in those details.
Well, essentially, the league, as of Saturday, will have every team in the intensive protocol program. And what that means, Greeny, is that all meetings now will be done virtually. Every person, player, coach will be required to wear a mask. There are certain provisions and protocols that now will need to be followed at all times. The NFL recognizes that with cases of coronavirus spiking in the country, that it has got to try to protect the players, the coaches, the league, the games, its business. And so every team now, as of Saturday, will be entered into the intensive protocol training program.
From now, basically through the rest of the season, pending anything changing. Shefty with the very latest. Thank you. We'll continue in just a moment here. Coming up, the truth about Jim Harbaugh. I will tell you where he belongs, and the answer might not be at the Big House. We're talking about that. Plus, who wants a quarterback? Some surprising NFL teams may be shopping in the first round of next year's draft. Wait till you hear this. Our insider's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN. Are you gonna quit now? Are you We are back on Get Up, and in Mel Kiper's latest big board, Trevor Lawrence has stayed put at the top. Justin Fields has moved up from number 3 to number 2, so it sets up a very intriguing quarterback draft this year. Lawrence, of course, led Clemson to the 2018 football championship. With one more win, he will match the most wins as a starting quarterback in Clemson history with 32, while Fields has had an unbelievable start this year at Ohio State. Leads the country in total QBR and completion percentage. He has 11 passing touchdowns and 11 incompletions. So the numbers are just frankly ridiculous. Now, I would love everyone to take a look at a story that our NFL senior writer Jeremy Fowler has put together on ESPN.com, and he and Lewis Riddick join me here. You spoke to several NFL executives, Jeremy, and scouts about the top quarterbacks in this class. What are you hearing them say about Trevor Lawrence and historical comparisons?
Well, Greeny, the hype is pretty incredible. I talked to a GM who brought up unprompted that this guy's the best prospect since Andrew Luck, and I think he's better. Some people just believe that he's a unicorn skill set at 6'6", overall athleticism, and many agree he's one of the best pure passers of the football that they've seen in a long time. So they can nitpick his accuracy a little bit, hovers around 65% in his first 2 seasons. But it's funny, you ask these people around the league, how would they rate his weaknesses? And they pretty much say, well, yeah, there's not much there. He's about the clean prospect that they've seen. They feel like he's going to be pretty much game ready when he comes out in April.
All right, so there are almost no questions about him. And Lewis, obviously, you're busy doing Monday Night Football, and you'll do your scouting and all that kind of film work, obviously, as we get closer to the draft. But from what you have seen, when you have seen from Lawrence and what you've seen from Justin Fields, what is your assessment of the distance between them at 1 and 2?
Yeah, I don't see it as being something that's just so tremendously wide that Justin Fields right now, who you would assume would be the consensus number 2 quarterback, couldn't close the gap and have some people going, well, we kind of like what Justin Fields brings to the table. So I don't see it being that wide. Look, Justin Fields he almost had his team in the national championship game, mm-hmm. in that national semifinal game. You know, and if a few breaks go his way, Ohio State is playing for the national championship instead of Clemson. So I really like the things that he's doing. I think the thing that really for me, after watching the film, and just let me be clear, I have not watched these guys close enough to really give an honest assessment, but I think the thing for me that would really make some difference and really, like, it would really resonate with me is the interview process that you would have both with these individuals and with their coaching staff. Yeah. So that means Dabo Swinney and with Ryan Day. And we'd have to, you know, take it from there. There's a lot of information still to be gathered about these two. There's no question that Trevor Lawrence is a freak out there. I mean, he looks like a guy who would give you nightmares to try and defend. No question about that. But Justin Fields has played very, very well. And Ryan Day is a very, very good coach. So I think both of these guys are going to have great careers, provided that the NFL teams take care of them the way they should.
Well, that really becomes then the next piece of this. So, Jeremy, what are people around the league saying about what could happen? Let's just say the Jets wind up with the number one overall pick. What is the expectation?
Well, it would be pretty clear-cut at that point. Everybody I've spoken to believes that they would take Trevor Lawrence, but here's how this will shake out, Greeny. They have to ensure that, one, Lawrence is coming out. Now, I've spoken to a few execs who believe he's at least considering staying at Clemson. At the end of the day, they do expect him to leave, but, you know, it's at least a thought right now. So if he goes in the draft, they want to make sure they're on the same page with Lawrence, that he knows he's going to be a Jet, he'd be happy to be a Jet, and that they can turn in that card. They have to do that before they can even start to shop Sam Darnold, a quarterback they still very much like. They have 32 games of file on him. You know, they know him well. You know, they believe that he could be in the right system and with the right playmakers around him, a good quarterback. That's why they believe he would have value if it comes to that. You know, Joe Douglas, he looks for bargains. He would probably want a first-round pick for Darnold. He might not be able to get that, but there would be some interest for him closer to late April.
And then quickly, because the thing that I found most interesting in your piece were the sleeper teams that you think could be targeting a quarterback in this draft. Teams we're not talking about. Share some of those.
Watch out for Carolina. This is a team I've continuously heard is intrigued by the 2021 draft class. They're all in on Matt Rhule long term. You know, they want to be good now, but they're okay being really good in 2022 or 23. Now, they got Teddy Bridgewater for two more years under contract. That's perfect for them. He can continue to play games, or if they want to groom a guy behind him, that's gravy too. And San Francisco, Greeny, I've talked to several coordinators around the league who believe Kyle Shanahan should really go all in on an athletic young quarterback that they can throw on the move and run the ball with. They think he could dominate the game if he does that.
I mean, really interesting to watch. Jeremy, the piece again, recommended reading on ESPN.com with a lot of people talking about all of these quarterbacks and the musical chairs that could wind up getting played. We'll break on that thought. Coming up, the College Football Playoff Committee dropped a little bit of a sneaky bombshell last night. Heather Dinich has all the details and Paul Feinbaum has the reaction as we continue next. Get up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up. Lewis, take a look at this play. The receiver is named Drayton Law in the back of the end zone, and I just want you to watch the catch that he makes here. Watch the foot get down.
Pretty spectacular. Well, that's nice, man. That's nice. Ball location, body control. That's the whole deal right there, man. Look, these athletes are just getting better and better, man. And it's crazy some of the catches that the young kids are making in today's game.
No question. All right, coming up, this is not good news. Klay Thompson is down. We'll see how long it'll be before he gets back up. Jalen Rose will join us live with his thoughts next. And then our numbers telling the story about the Michigan man will tell you exactly what Jim Harbaugh has to do now. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA free agency officially begins on Friday at 6 Eastern on a special edition of SportsCenter. Follow the breaking news, up-to-the-minute developments, and instant analysis on major moves around the league. Adrian Wojnarowski and Stephen A. Smith live with wall-to-wall coverage on the deals that could impact the NBA landscape. SportsCenter live Friday at 6 Eastern for the start of NBA free agency.
All right, back here on Get Up in this developing story. The news from the NBA yesterday was not good. Hours before the draft, Klay Thompson injuring his right leg during a workout with several NBA players in LA. He will undergo an MRI this morning. The Warriors are worried that it could be an Achilles injury. They're holding out hope it's not as serious as that. But if you were reading the tea leaves on social media, all the reaction that seemed to be coming in yesterday, it sounded very pessimistic. And so here's the great Jalen Rose with me here. I see the look on your face. I mean, what is your reaction? What would this mean if this is a bad injury?
I'm just really disappointed for Klay and his family. Hopefully it's not a torn Achilles, which is being reported. I just remember seeing Kevin Durant with ice on his calf, but ended up having an Achilles injury. And it's really unfortunate because with the Splash Brothers healthy, with Draymond Green, and you draft Wiseman, the Golden State Warriors were going to catapult themselves back into contention, Greeny. Now without Klay Thompson, they'll be a lower half playoff team potentially in the Western Conference. And now that he's had Achilles injuries potentially in back-to-back seasons, we now start looking at the future of their team wondering, can they now recapture championship glory? So it's really unfortunate for the Golden State Warriors and their fans, in particular going into the draft last night.
Yeah, no question about it. So all we'll do is we'll sit and we'll hope for better news than some are anticipating, and we should have that in a few hours. In the meantime, as we watched the draft play out last night, and there was some wheeling and dealing as well, give me your perspective. What was the most important thing that happened yesterday as far as you were concerned?
Well, a lot of amazing things happened, Greeny. So it's not the generational changing type of player that got picked last night. There wasn't a Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon and LeBron James to get picked last night. However, the first three players to me fell exactly where they should in order to maximize their potential. I love Anthony Edwards teaming up with D'Angelo Russell along with Karl Anthony Towns. They bring back Ricky Rubio to give him a traditional point guard. I like his potential on both ends of the floor, his strength, his physicality, and his ability to be a dynamic scorer. I like Wiseman for the Golden State Warriors because of all of the things that the Golden State Warriors have had the last few years, the one thing they haven't had is height. And he's going to give them that. He's going to give them dunks. He's going to give them blocks. He's going to give them a guy that can run the floor and really be a game changer up front. I love LaMelo Ball with Charlotte. How about if you're the Ball family, you got drafted by Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. And so for now, LaMelo, when you go to Charlotte, there's a real opportunity with Graham and PJ Washington and the young talent they have to build something special. And then number four is where the draft really kind of took off, in my opinion. Anytime somebody goes fourth in the draft, when they don't start for their collegiate team, that lets you know that you're rolling the dice. And I like that the Bulls did that. But I'll tell you what, in the Western Conference, the team that's on the come up that didn't make the playoffs this season is the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. We know they got Booker. We know they have Ayton. We know they added CP3. But I love Jalen Smith at the 10 spot. Adding CP3 is really going to allow those big guys to learn how to play pick and roll. They're going to compete defensively. I love what Monty Williams is going to do with those guys. In the Eastern Conference, the Atlanta Hawks. I like what they did as well. We know about Trae Young and the young talent they've amassed with DeAndre Hunter. But I tell you what, the Hawks did a terrific job of drafting the kid from UFC. He's going to go with Capella. The Hawks will be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to create a lot of excitement.
All right. It's a very interesting night, setting up a very big week in the NBA. Jalen and Jacoby covering that and a whole lot more this afternoon and every afternoon here on ESPN. Take it easy, Jay. Thank you so much, as always. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Let's go on the clock here. And, Lewis, I'm coming to you. You've got a great one this Monday night. Rams, Buccaneers. You're looking at the tape. What do you have your eye on?
Yeah, you know, I had my eye on a number of different things. But I think most notably, I'm going to be taking a look at whether or not, you know, Tom Brady can continue to push the ball down the field against a Rams defense that is one of the very best as far as defending the deep ball. And Jalen Ramsey is just absolutely playing out of his mind right now. And he's a guy who matches up very well with all the receivers they have across the board, namely Mike Evans. Then you saw what he did to DK Metcalf last week. He's without a doubt, he is in the conversation as far as being NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And he's not the only one that they have in that secondary that is playing overall just lights out. Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, he's one of those guys to keep an eye on as a rising head coaching candidate.
And so this week they go up against the Bucs. So, Nick, I will come to you with that thought in mind. We got the Packers, we got the Bucs, we got the Saints. Which team you got representing the NFC in the Super Bowl? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Bucs at this point, considering the injury that we had in New Orleans and not knowing what we're going to see out of Jameis Winston in New Orleans. But I do like the Rams coming up, but the Bucs have everything you need. They just haven't yet become a consistent offense yet, but they have all the weapons from a quarterback who is the greatest of all time, all the receivers and tight ends and running backs that a team could use, and a defense that when they're at their best, they're one of the best in the league. So it's hard for me to pick against them. Though I think there are a lot of teams in the NFC that can make a run, there is no kind of runaway lead team like there is in the AFC. If I have to put something I care about on a team in the NFC, it has to be Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
All right, so those are the teams that everyone has their eye on. D-Wood, let's look at someone who could still make a run. If I'm telling you there's a team that's under 500 now that you could see making a run to the playoffs, who is that team? 30 seconds.
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you're talking about a team that arguably has the best running back in the league in Dalvin Cook. Okay, then you have maybe the most efficient route runner in the league, rookie Justin Jefferson, who's just been fantastic in his first year with the Minnesota Vikings. Then Kirk Cousins only has one turnover in his last three games, all wins for the Minnesota Vikings. If he continues to play like that along with the other pieces that I talked about, this Minnesota Vikings team is going to find their way into the playoffs.
That's interesting. It's a team that at the beginning of the season, everyone had super high hopes for. They got off to such a bad start. We pretty much forgot them, but here they come. We're not even yet to Thanksgiving. They have a chance. That's the NFL story for the moment. The college football weekend is a good one, and it starts with two huge games in the Big Ten on ABC. In the afternoon, we have Northwestern and Wisconsin, both of them unbeaten. And then at night, we've got a bedlam. That's from the Big 12, of course. The Sooners are going for their fifth straight win as they host Oklahoma State. It's all Saturday on ABC, and you can see it all on the ESPN app. Friends, football fans, Wolverines, lend me your ears. I'm here today not to bury Jim Harbaugh, but simply to tell you the truth, which is that for reasons no one could have foreseen, Harbaugh just has not been able to translate the enormous success he had in the NFL to his alma mater, and it is probably time for him to go back where he obviously belongs. The facts are the facts in Ann Arbor. Harbaugh has lost more games in the last 3 weeks than Ohio State has in 3 years. His 0-5 record against the Buckeyes is the worst of any coach on either side of that rivalry ever. Despite ranking top five in recruiting 4- and 5-star players during his tenure, Michigan has not had a single offensive skill position player drafted in the first or second round and hasn't had a quarterback make even second-team All-Big Ten. So it just hasn't worked. Why would the NFL be different? Because Harbaugh has proven he can do it there. In NFL history, only one coach won more games in his first 4 years with any team than Harbaugh did. That coach was George Seifert. He inherited a Super Bowl champion. Harbaugh inherited a team that hadn't had a winning season in 8 years. He immediately won 13 games. He made the Super Bowl in his second year. In history, there are 5 head coaches who have a higher career winning percentage than Harbaugh. All of them are in the Hall of Fame. Harbaugh also transformed Alex Smith from a bust into a playoff quarterback, and he developed Colin Kaepernick into arguably the most dynamic threat in the entire sport. So we don't think he can win in the NFL. We know it because we've seen it. And candidly, right now, it feels as though the time has just about arrived for us to see it again. That's what I think. And so with that thought in mind, let me go over here. And I find Heather Dinich, who's up with us early, and Paul Feinbaum. And Paul, of course, is got that little smile on his face, as he always does whenever we bring up Jim Harbaugh. There's other stuff I want to get from Heather today, but I will get your reaction, Paul, to what I just said.
Well, Greeny, what I think is important is how you portray that. It's about time someone looks at the facts and doesn't go hyperbolic and hyperventilate like some of these talking heads on television about Jim Harbaugh. Greeny, you're 100% correct. There's nothing I can add to that as one of the biggest Harbaugh critics. It's time to lower the rhetoric and to face the reality. And Jim Harbaugh needs to do that. And that's what upset me the other day when we talked, that he seems to be ignoring the reality. He's not getting it done. He doesn't need to be fired. He just needs to leave. And I hope, and I think Jim Harbaugh is smart enough to figure that out.
I will see. So that could be a couple of weeks away. In the meantime, Heather, the real reason I wanted you this morning was because I saw the story you posted on ESPN.com last night, and I think this is sneaky, huge news about the college football playoff schedule. Let's fill everybody in.
The commissioners met yesterday, and they decided that they want to keep the playoff on its current schedule and name a champion on January 11th. Of course, CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock told me they reserve the right to revisit that should they need to because of the coronavirus pandemic. But they also decided, Greeny, that if one of the semifinalists were to incur a COVID-19 outbreak after Selection Day on December 20th, they would not select an alternative team to replace that team. In other words, the number 5 team is not going to get a promotion suddenly by the selection committee if a semifinalist can't play. So what happens if that semifinalist can't play? I don't know, and neither does the selection committee nor the commissioners right now. They don't have to answer it right now, quite frankly, but that opens up a whole can of worms, because even if you bump it back 1 week, and it's probably two, you start to get in the NFL playoffs.
Right, or you wind up in a situation where you have a team forfeiting a national semifinal game, which seems as though that would be completely off the table. You could not live in that scenario. So, Paul, as you hear that, and again, I think this is sneaky, huge news. Do you think they have that right?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I'm not sure, Greeny, because it depends on when it comes out. If a team finds themselves in contact tracing 2 days after Selection Sunday on December 20th, why can't they do it? But you know, if it's the day before, then yeah, the other team is already prepared to play in a bowl game probably that day or the day after. The real issue I have is what happens on January 11th. What happens if the day before the national championship game we have an outbreak? You're not declaring one or the other team the national champion. Then you do have to move on. And one thing about the playoffs, the college football championship game is already following the wild card round, so it's not like they're not dealing with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, these things are all fluid. These are circumstances unlike any they've ever faced. But again, Heather's story, they have said that if they put the 4 teams in and one of them can't play, they're not putting in number 5. They'll have to go forward from there. You can read the entire story on ESPN.com. Guys, thank you both for getting up with us early here today on what is shaping up to be such a busy day. As we go on, Bill Belichick gushing about his quarterback in ways he never used to. What's behind that? We've got the reaction. And then, could the Saints, I can't believe I'm even asking this question, could they be better without Drew Brees? Someone might just think the answer is yes. That's on the way. Tomorrow night, the MLS postseason kicks off on ESPN2 with the play-in round matchup between first-year clubs Nashville and Inter Miami. That's tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio here. Greeny here. Get up. We continue with you live for the next 13 minutes, commercial free. And then when we wrap up, it is time for First Take, and they will have a lot to talk about today, especially with the injury to Klay Thompson, reaction from Stephen A. and Max and Molly on that, and the draft, and a whole lot more. They are now 12 minutes away on ESPN. We're with you commercial free till then, and we're talking about Cam Newton. Patriots have won back-to-back games. They can get back to 500 this week with a win over the Texans. And yesterday, Bill Belichick had glowing things to say about his quarterback.
Cam's got a good leadership style. He, has a good personality, gets along with everybody, works with everybody. I think everybody feels, you know, a positive connection to him, but he kind of brings a different, kind of a fresher, maybe energy or perspective to things that, you know, I think we all can appreciate.
That's interesting. But D-Wood, I was told that you were laughing hysterically at those comments. What is so funny?
Well, listen, Lewis knows this. It's rare that you see Bill kind of heap that type of going to depth with players like that, particularly during the season. So just listening to it, it was real funny to me. But in all seriousness, you know, anytime Bill talks like that, you've obviously, you know, struck something within him. And I think it speaks to what Cam is bringing to New England. He talked about a fresh new energy. And that's what Cam is really all about. He has an energy. Guys tend to gravitate towards him. And Coach Belichick is doing a heck of a job coaching up this team. We know the limitations that they have on offense, but obviously Cam is a driving factor on that team.
Yeah, and I think that the sign of a great coach is knowing which buttons to push with individual players, and maybe that is what he feels Cam Newton needs as they try to make a second half run here, which they could do. Lewis Riddick, you said last week you thought they were ready to make a little bit of a second half push, and then they went out and they beat Baltimore. Do you see this team making a playoff push over the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, I would not count them out at all. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is that intangible that this team has that Bill's talking about when he's referencing Cam Newton right there, that you can't really quantify objectively. You can't. And so I know it's easy to bang on this football team and go, well, just look at the weapons that they have out on the perimeter and look at the lack of weapons that they have at the tight end position that they historically have had. Look at all the deficiencies they have up front in the front seven, all the people who have opted out, they can't stop the run, etc. Well, what they did against Baltimore in adverse conditions up there in typical New England weather was vintage Patriots, vintage Bill Belichick, and I think it is all stemming from that energy that Cam has and that he brings, and I think he is laying to rest a lot of the preconceptions that people have about him as far as him being an eye guy versus a team guy, because he has put that team on his back, and they seem to like it like that. And I would not count this team out in any way, shape, or form going down the pipe here.
Again, you're talking as a guy who just had them 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Football, so you're sort of intimately familiar with the dynamics that are going on there. Shefty, what are you hearing coming out of Foxborough?
Well, this is a situation where there's a Patriot team that usually gets better, and there are a lot of people that were doubting this team, getting on this team, criticizing this team. That usually is when this team rises up and does its best work. Now, look, this team still is missing weapons, but Jacoby Myers has developed into a playmaking wide receiver, and Damian Harris has developed into what looks like their number one back. And so they're slowly getting more and more contributions from people that ordinarily have not been a part of that offense. If I were to say to you at the beginning of the year that Cam Newton, Damian Harris, and Jacoby Myers would be the keys to this New England team making a charge, that might have surprised you some.
Exactly right. And there they were at 2-5.
And Julian Edelman may be coming back, right?
At some point in time, not far away.
Here they are with a chance to, in a game in which they are favored, to get themselves back to 500 as we get to Thanksgiving, and we'll see what they can put together. Meanwhile, it is time right now for Dominique and his... Ooh, Shefty's got a call. Could be big news.
Hey.
Meanwhile, Dominique and the unique perspective.
Ready all night. Tell him here I come. Ready all night. Tell him here I come.
Look at me. Handsome. Fast. Quick. Doesn't take much for me to... I'm modest. Humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
Every week at this time, our man Dominique brings us his unique perspective. What do we have today, Mr. Foxworth?
Jameis Winston makes the Saints potentially more dangerous and a better Super Bowl contending team than Drew Brees. I know how crazy it sounds because Drew Brees is great. And I know that Himbo put up those great stats earlier about what Jameis Winston, or excuse me, what Drew Brees was before Sean Payton. It was a lot like Jameis Winston. So if Sean Payton can bring the best, oh, I got emoji face. We got emoji face. So if Sean Payton can bring out the best in Jameis Winston, I promise you, as a defensive player, what is scarier is the big play ability. And it is so hard when you go into defensive meeting rooms, you prep for a game, you're thinking about how to stop big plays, because all of us on defense, the thing that we say over and over again is they can't score without big plays. You cannot have a team that's going to complete 13 passes in a row and go 5 yards a pop all the way down the field consistently. I know that Drew Brees seems to be able to do that, but it's getting harder as he gets older. And Jameis Winston has the highest average yards per completion in the league, the second highest, second to Patrick Mahomes. And in this system, hopefully Sean Payton can bring the best out of him. I promise you that Jameis Winston, in some ways, in some of the most important ways, is scarier to prepare for than those dink and dunk passes that you're going to get from Drew Brees. And Drew Brees finds ways to hit the seam and make big plays, but it's a lot more difficult to play defense when you have to cover the entire field than when you are focused on getting these slants or these screen passes to Alvin Kamara. It's a lot scarier when you add the deep threat to that. So if if Sean Payton can coach the turnovers out of Jameis Winston, that offense is a lot scarier with Jameis and that big arm than it is with Drew Brees. I know it sounds crazy.
No. I mean, it doesn't sound crazy. It sounds like what we've been saying forever, which is if Jameis just stops throwing the ball to the other team, he'd be an unbelievably good quarterback. But that remains the enormous if in all of this. Lewis, I understand the point that he's making, but I couldn't help but notice the look on your face. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I understand the point he's making, too. And early in the football season here in 2020, Sean has talked about the fact that they need to have that deep field, down the field, explosive 20-plus yard play component to their offense in order for them to really get over the top and be that dominant offensive juggernaut that they want to be. He needs that, and they have been calling those plays. For whatever reason, they haven't been able to hit them early in the year. Now, Jameis, will pull the trigger. He will launch it down the field, and I don't have any doubt that you would probably see more deep shots if he was as the starting quarterback than Drew. I just think Jameis is wired that way. What's interesting, though, is that when Hembo gave me this statistic about the fact that Jameis actually struggled in the intermediate and short areas of the field as far as his efficiency and turning the ball over, that philosophically, though, is where Sean Payton wants to live. That's where their offense has become what it is. So if he's turning the football over there, I just don't know overall if Jameis nets out being the better option for them to get to where they want to get to. And coaching interceptions and coaching turnovers and decision-making out of a quarterback, that's a tough thing to do.
Dominique, I could see the fear on your own face as you were saying it, and I understand it. But I get the point you're making. We'll see. If he doesn't wind up with the ball running back towards his own end zone a bunch of times, he's a very effective quarterback. I'm with you on that. Meanwhile, we will see two great quarterbacks tonight. The weekend kicks off with a great game and a very important game. Obviously, Kyler Murray in Arizona. We saw how the game ended on Sunday against Buffalo, their sixth win this season in that spectacular fashion. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, he's always been brilliant on Thursday nights. He's 8-1 in Thursday games, and he goes head-to-head with Kyler Murray tonight in this big battle between these two teams. Pair of MVP candidates. Wilson leads the NFL with 29 touchdowns. Murray is right behind him, tied for second with 27. So the quarterbacks, obviously spectacular. These teams met earlier this year. The Cardinals won that game. They are tied, the two of them, along with the Rams, for the division lead. Shefty, let's start by talking about injuries. What are the important injury notes going into tonight's game, Cardinals-Seahawks?
Well, here's the injury report, Greeny. Tyler Lockett listed as questionable, but Pete Carroll does expect him to play. He was limited in practice this week with a knee sprain, but he is expected to be out there. Remember the game that Tyler Lockett had against the Cardinals the last time they played? Chris Carson listed as questionable. Doesn't look like he'll be out there. This would be the fourth straight game that he misses. It's hurt the Seahawks running the football, their play-action game. Carlos Hyde, who's also missed time with hamstring shoulder injuries, he is expected to be back out there tonight.
All right, so it's a super important game for a variety of reasons. D. Wood, give me the one thing you're watching for tonight. What's the most important thing in the game?
Can the Seahawks defense come out of witness protection? I mean, it's really that simple. We talked about Russell Wilson and having the turnovers as of late. It's because of all the pressure that he feels he has to be in a shootout every week. The defense can't stop a nosebleed. So can the Seahawks defense please come out of witness protection? Help your man, help Russ cook on a consistent basis, because y'all not helping that man out at all.
Dominic, really quickly, coming off of the huge play at the end of the game, is that momentum for Kyler Murray or a little bit of a letdown coming off of that incredibly dramatic finish?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is probably momentum. You saw him taking heat checks with his comments through the week saying he was going to do two sports, and I know he feels confident going into this game against the Seahawks, but I have to tell Damian, they're not coming out of witness protection. So Russ better be the Russ that he was earlier in the season. They are who they are. That's who they are, and they're not a good defense. So if they're going to win, Russ better cook everything, because that defense is that defense. They aren't good.
Lewis, I know that we all pick. Give me the winner tonight in this game. I have the pick bar in front of me. Everybody picked the Cardinals to win the game tonight, so you can go ahead and populate them.
Wow.
Let Lewis give us the reasons why. Lewis, why did the Cardinals win tonight?
Wow.
Because I think they're just more balanced. I think that right now they have found their identity. They know exactly who they are offensively, although Kyler Murray is without a doubt a surefire MVP candidate. They're also a power running football team, and that's something that Cliff Kingsbury wants to be. Just look at some of their run designs. They want to actually play bully ball a little bit, but they can spread you out and throw the football over the field. The difference, though, is they have a defense that can make plays. They have a defense that can turn the ball over. Vance Joseph really has this team humming right along. And just think about this. If Chandler Jones was still playing, if Chandler Jones was not injured, how good would they be overall? Yeah. So I think they win tonight. I think they challenge and they win the NFC West eventually.
Shefty seems surprised, and so am I. I actually like Seattle. But very quickly, guys, we have to go with this. Does Damian Woody seem as though he's been comfortable on the show today? He does, and we now know why. I want everyone to feast their eyes. Look at Damian Woody. Oh. Look at Damian this morning. He's got the PJs working.
Where are those? Woody.
Hey, what kind of business on top and a party on the bottom?
I'm in a festive mood, fellas. I mean, that's what it is.
We like everyone to feel comfortable every morning. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take.
Front door have a front door? Man.